When you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you should do is stop digging. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principles and Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Well, Barry, what are you planning to do tonight on this fine New Year's Eve?
The same thing I do just about every night, Chuck. And if anybody's ever seen the old cartoon Pinky and the Brain, it's try to take over the world. But but really, we don't get into staying up till all the wee hours of the morning and hooting and hollering or watching them trot out Dick Clark's mummy to watch a ball drop in New York City. We managed to just kind of stay low key and reflect a little bit on the year that was and look forward to the upcoming year. I'm not one of these people, Charles, who makes this laundry list of resolutions resolving that I, by my own power, am going to do something different than I've done before, because under my own power and not under the power of the Holy Spirit and God who directs me, I won't do anything. And I certainly will not keep any of that long list of potential resolutions if I'm doing any of that under my own power. So I honestly just don't make resolutions. I just thank God for the year that was and pray with hope for the year that's coming up.
Well, it's interesting you talk about resolutions and about how a lot of people look at the new year as sort of a recreation kind of a scenario.
Sure.
How it's going to be so different in resolutions, because we're recording this on Sunday night, and I didn't tell you this, but I got a call on Saturday, and they said, could you exhort on Sunday night? And I said, yeah, I guess. Got an idea what I could talk about for half an hour? And basically said, why don't you pick something out of the Westminster Confession of Faith and teach on that? And I said, you know, that's a great idea. So I went through the list. Didn't want to go too controversial, but I wanted to go with something that was kind of profound and important for the new year. So I picked chapter 4, and that is of creation. And I started out with that whole premise that a lot of people look at the new year as a kind of a new creation. And some of that feeling, people get a little introspective. And I said, that usually lasts till about, January 2nd or so, when reality comes back in and slaps everybody around and shows them that really nothing has changed except the year designation. And now you got to remember to put the right year on your checks or they'll bounce. So, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Chuck, because it's providential that in our service on Sunday morning, we looked in Genesis and we were talking specifically mainly about the fall and what happened there. But we were also looking, you know, the whole idea that God made man and woman and made man in his image after his likeness and made the woman for man, and that the two come together and shall be one flesh. And that's the truth of God's word and shows the importance that he places on that traditional structure as part of his creation mandate. And he did it so that we would be, as the scripture says, be fruitful and multiply to fill the earth and subdue it, which means to take ownership or regency over it and exercise stewardship. Now, that's the biblical framework, Chuck. That's the biblical framework of creation as well. And it's all done to give God glory. But, you know, Charles, as you and I both look around the stratosphere of the world, we know that there are some people there who just can't accept the plain truth of God's word. And we've got ourselves a great candidate for that right now, don't we?
Oh, gosh, Barry, we've been talking about this fellow for now, well, at least a week on and off, and he just somehow he's under the idea that if you get your foot further in your mouth, that somehow it will become more tasty or more easy to swallow or something, because he can't seem to pull it out. He just keeps stuffing it further in. He can't stop himself. And in fact, let's put it this way. If you were to tell him he had his foot in his mouth, he would scoff and call you an idiot, because this is the type of man that he is. Now, I'm not above an occasional insult if the moment is right and the situation is exactly correct and someone has done something really stupid. But the fact is that this man is a perfect example of what the Bible says is believing themselves wise, they became fools.
The man that we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already guessed or haven't been paying attention to this, is CNN news columnist and talk show host Piers Morgan. Now, Morgan is
British.
He's also has made himself infamous. First of all, he's taken over the spot that Larry King used to have on CNN, and he's basically destroyed it. But he's made himself infamous for his tirade against Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America in the last couple of weeks over whether or not guns should be allowed in schools, i.e., should education personnel be allowed to carry weapons. Larry Pratt's number one, all in favor of getting rid of gun-free zones, and number two, definitely in favor of allowing individuals who work in the schools to be able to carry on their person. And Morgan, again, he got a lot of news media for this because he roughly insulted Larry Pratt and called him stupid and ignorant, etc., and believes that we need to amend the Second Amendment in order to ban what he considers to be assault weapon. Now, Chuck, when you start digging a hole, as I said earlier, first thing, if you find yourself in that hole when you're digging, first thing you're supposed to do is stop digging. That doesn't stop Piers Morgan. He's digging even deeper because he's kind of found his meme. He thinks that for some reason, and maybe it's just because his ratings are flagging so badly on Piers Morgan tonight on CNN, that he needs something to get him boosted up in the media eye so that his ratings will go up so that they won't cancel it and he'll have to go packing back to Great Britain. But what he's done is he's now come out and in an interview with Rick Warren, who's the pastor of Saddleback Church in California, has basically said that because gay marriage is the right thing to do, then we need to amend the Bible. Now, Chuck, we know that it's not a good idea to use Article 5 to amend the Constitution, but I'm not sure what process Piers Morgan is thinking about trying to use to, quote-unquote, amend the Bible.
Well, Barry, to show what... when you said that Larry King had it and that had his program and Piers Morgan destroyed it, I would beg to differ. When Larry King had it, it was a train wreck. When Piers Morgan turned it into a train wreck while carrying an entire load of toxic chemicals.
Yes.
Which burst into flame when they're mixed. And the fact that this has burst into flame. Now, if you want to see something really spectacular, get Rick Warren on the stage with Piers Morgan. And Rick Warren apparently is unaware that he is incapable of... He proves that he doesn't understand the Bible. In the slightest. Because Morgan gets him in a corner and pummels him. And I mean, these questions that he's asking are so easily answered by someone who knows the Bible and understands God's word and God's law. But Warren shows that he doesn't in the slightest. So Warren is basically carrying around matches around the side of the train wreck with the toxic chemicals that are all mixed together. And apparently he thinks he's doing it, lighting them to make himself able to see the damage. And in fact, what he's going to do is set the whole thing on fire. We almost have to play it so you can hear it, so you can believe just what a mess Rick Warren made of this and what Piers Morgan did to him. So with your permission, I will play that.
Oh, please.
Any other book, if it was writing about these great people in the past, it tended to gloss over their sin.
But we discussed this often. When the Bible says that if you commit adultery, you're going to be stoned to death.
That's a civil law for the nation of Israel.
But it's still an element of the Bible that is flawed.
Well, evidently, for that generation, that's their commandment.
Exactly my point. Exactly like the Constitution.
But it's not one of the moral laws.
No, but it's still in the Bible, and it's flawed.
I do not believe the Bible is flawed.
Well, well-intentioned, but they are basically inherently flawed.
What I believe,
hence the need to amend it. My point to you about gay rights, for example, it's time for an amendment to the Bible.
No.
You should compile a new Bible.
Not a chance. What I believe is flawed is human opinion because it constantly changes. In fact, we do it every 8 years in America. We have a change in opinion. What was hot is now not. And I willingly admit that I base my worldview on the Bible, which I believe is true. And truth, my definition of truth is, if it's new, it's not true. If it was true 1,000 years ago, it'll be true 1,000 years from today. Opinion changes, but truth doesn't.
We're going to agree to disagree on that. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about children.
You know what I like, though? I like... Piers, we need more of this kind of talk.
I agree.
Well, Barry, that's utter nonsense. Sorry to say anything different.
Yes,
but
yes, it is.
That is probably the worst performance I've ever seen. And I've seen some bad ones with Morgan. But the fact is, what you heard Morgan say is that God is irrelevant. And what you heard Rick Warren say was that, well, God really isn't unchanging. He does change. Because after all, that law about stoning homosexuals was a law for the civil law of Israel. It had nothing to, and that was for that time, and this is for now. Well, if you want to argue that the civil law maybe is due for an update, okay, we can talk about the general equity principle of biblical law. That's fine. And guys like Morgan can always pull this out, and he thinks he embarrasses us with that. No, what is going on here, of course, is the fact that God used that law to show that he found that particular act to be an abomination.
Yes.
And that's the entire point of that. It's not the fact that, oh, poor gays who were born that way. And I can tell you right up front, because I have seen Piers Morgan with Rick Warren before, and he basically says, you don't understand that these people are born that way. Well, Barry, that is such the obvious refutation of that argument is this. We're all born in sin.
That's right.
And the fact that all forms of perversion men are born into. Now, are they necessarily born into that particular outcropping of sin? That appears to be nonsense. There is no genetic evidence whatsoever that that is the truth. But the fact is, these guys keep coming in. Once someone posits the idea that they could be born this way, then it's repeated over and over and over as fact until it becomes fact. And that's what Morgan is counting on. The fact is, you could make this same argument, Barry, for pedophiles, people who engage in other forms of sexual perversion. They've had these feelings since they were young, and they don't know how to get away from it. They were born that way, so we need to let them alone, because after all, God couldn't possibly make them this way without a purpose. Well, God didn't make them that way. He made them, and they're sinful by their nature. Some people are compulsive thieves, but they're sinners. They're compulsive thieves because they're a sinner, not because they have a genetic predisposition to be a thief. And we live in an age when, for some reason, people are fascinated with serial killers, and some people have a compulsion to kill. Is it because they were born that way? Well, they were born sinners. That particular outcropping of their sin is generally something that comes up from some behavioral thing that is based on their sinful nature. This is one of the problems we run into, Barry. It's a serious problem. People don't understand the nature and the character of sinful man. And Morgan proves that he doesn't. And Rick Warren proves that he basically really doesn't grasp it either.
No. Well, you know, in my response for Rick Warren saying God changes over time is to say, really, then look at Scripture where God says, I am the Lord your God, I change not.
Exactly.
Because, you know, he's not the first one to believe that because we're so wonderful, God will change his mind on his revealed word and his law and give us a pass when we go and willfully rebel. But that isn't how God works.
No, God is unchanging. It's man who changes. And we continually try to find ways of making it look like God has changed so that we may then violate his law, which is based on his character. That's, again, something, all God's law is based on his attributes, his character. And we continually try to find ways to find that God's character has changed. Well, Rick Warren was attempting to throw the Old Testament baby out with the bathwater, the homosexual bathwater. Sorry, you can't do that, because the Old Testament and the New Testament are contiguous. Yes, if you want to argue that, yes, the ceremonial laws are passed away. We don't have to do the dietary laws anymore, because that was a shadow and a foretype of the coming of Christ. Well, Christ has come and the perfect sacrifice has been made. So we no longer have clean and unclean things. We know that from the book of Acts. But take Peter, kill and eat, the sheet coming down from heaven with all the supposedly unclean animals in it. Nowhere in that particular thing was there anything said about any of the civil laws regarding adultery or sexual perversion or marriage or name it. None of those things are changed. They're still intact. Some of them are fulfilled and some of them are basically laws for the maintenance of our society. And if we ignore those, then we can expect society to collapse.
Which is, it seems like that's exactly what's happening.
That's exactly what we're seeing. Well, Barry, I'm looking at the clock, and we are
unfortunately out of time.
Out of time. So join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.